Well, I'm wondering this morning if you've ever had someone go out of their way to do something extra special or extraordinarily nice for you. And if you've been the recipient of that kind of kindness, or someone has reached out to you in that way, you may find yourself then in return scratching your head and wondering, now what can I do to show my appreciation and my thanks to them for what they have done for me? And oftentimes, trying to find an answer, come up with an answer to that question or get a good idea, it can take some time. It could take some diligent thought. But as I was thinking about that this week, then I began to wonder and consider, if we struggle with how to show appreciation to another human being, how much more difficult is it for us to express our appreciation to God? You know, we can't thank God by giving him something because God doesn't need anything. God is the giver of every good gift. Everything that we have in life is a gift from God. And in Romans 11, verse 35, in almost Jeopardy-like fashion, Paul asks this in the form of a question. He said, "Who has given a gift to God that he should be repaid?" No, God needs nothing from us. So what can we do? Well, to help us get a handle on that and focus our attention on giving him the thanks he deserves, I want you to open your Bibles, please, this morning to Psalm 100. Psalm 100, it's on page 500 if you want to use the Bible in the seat rack in front of you. But here is a psalm that can help us to know how we can shape and direct our thanks to God, not just at one season of the year, but every day. Psalm 100, a psalm for giving thanks. "Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations." And that's God's living word for us today. Now, Psalm 100 is the only psalm in the entire book of Psalms that is specifically identified as a psalm for giving thanks. Now, of course, that does not mean that Psalm 100 is the only psalm among the 150 psalms that expresses thanksgiving to God, because the psalms are just dotted with numerous expressions of thanks and exhortations for God's people to give him thanks. And yet, Psalm 100 is the only psalm that is explicitly designated as a psalm for giving thanks. It may be fanciful, but I do not think it is impossible or unlikely to imagine our pilgrim forebears uniting in song on that first Thanksgiving with this psalm, as they would have known how to sing it from their Geneva Psalter that was published in 1561. After being delivered from their homeless wanderings throughout Europe, imprisonment, persecution, their long perilous journey to America, their difficult first winter that was marked by the starvation and the death of family and friends, can you imagine their joy and their confidence and their resolve as they would stand and sing together, "All people that on earth do dwell, sing to the Lord with cheerful voice. Him serve with fear. His praise foretell. Come, ye before him, and rejoice." Charles Spurgeon once noted, "Nothing can be more sublime in this side of heaven than the singing of this noble psalm by a vast congregation." We'll sing it together today at the close of our service. But first, let's look at these beautiful words, these profound words from God's Word. Because as we look at it, we'll see that Psalm 100 gives us 7 succinct commands to give thanks. It gives us 2 explanations of why we should give thanks, and 4 directives on how we are to express our thanks. Give thanks to him. We see in the psalm that thanksgiving is actually commanded. Look down at it quickly, and you'll see each one of these, a command from God. Make a joyful noise. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence. Know that the Lord, he is God. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. Let's just look briefly at each one of those commands and see how that instructs our hearts today. And the first one right there is make a joyful noise. Well, what is this joyful noise? Now, many people who feel as if they don't have good singing voices often use this expression to say, well, at least I can make a joyful noise. And that may be true, but that's not exactly quite what the psalm pictures for us here, because in the original language in which the psalm is written, the words that are translated for us here as a joyful noise picture the kind of glad shout that loyal subjects would make or utter when their king appears among them. And so the emphasis here is not so much on the noise as it is on the fact that it is a joyful noise. It is a glad shout. Serve the Lord with gladness. The psalm goes right on to say that. The people of God are to praise God loudly because they are happy with him. If I may quote Spurgeon just one more time, Spurgeon says, "Our happy God should be worshiped by a happy people. A cheerful spirit is in keeping with his nature, his acts, and the gratitude which we should cherish for his mercies." Serve the Lord with gladness. Now, some of your translations may have the word worship at the beginning of verse 2 instead of the word serve. And that's because these two words are virtually interchangeable when it comes to conveying what it is that the psalmist is calling us to do. We serve God by our worship. Have you ever wondered why what we're doing here this morning is called a service of worship or a worship service? It's because when we gather here, when we gather like this, we gather to serve the Lord. We serve God by offering him thanksgiving and praise. We serve God too by serving others. Jesus' familiar words in Matthew chapter 25, he says, "When I was hungry, you gave me food." When we feed the hungry, we are serving Jesus. When we look out for the stranger or give clothing to someone who is in need, we are serving Jesus. When we visit the sick or those who are in prison, we are serving Jesus. By bringing pickles and olives and knitting hats, we are serving Jesus. We're serving him. And so we do that with gladness. We do that as we come to worship. We do that as we reach out to the world to be his hands, his heart, and his feet. The psalmist tells us we are to come into his presence. And so as we think about how we serve the Lord, it's really a both and. It's both being his hands and feet and coming together for shared corporate worship. It's never a menu of choices here. It's never an either or. It is a both and. The Lord has designed and commanded and called us to share our thanksgiving, our praise, our worship publicly with one another. Making a joyful noise, serving the Lord with gladness, coming together for worship, that summarizes our verbal witness. It summarizes our humanitarian activity. It summarizes our shared worship. 3 essential parts of living out the reality of our faith. As the psalmist continues to call us to thanksgiving, he turns a slight corner in verse 3 by telling us not that we should give thanks, but why we are to give thanks to the Lord. The psalmist says, "Know that the Lord, he is God." Our thanksgiving is not general. It's not generic. Our thanksgiving is directed to God. It is based on our knowledge of who God is. and who we are in relationship to God. We cannot rightly worship or thank a God who is unknown to us. Until we understand and know and appreciate who God is, we cannot know and understand who we are. Until we know God, we cannot know ourselves. And knowing God and knowing ourselves always go together, hand in hand. So what is it that we must know about God? The psalmist tells us, God is our creator. God made us. As a result, we belong to Him. We are His. We are His people. We are the sheep of His pasture. The New Testament puts it like this, do you not know you're not your own? For you were bought with a price. You did not emerge out of the primeval slime. You did not get here on your own all by yourself. No, you were designed and you were created by an all-powerful, sovereign, loving God who has a plan and who has a purpose for your life. You are stamped with the image of God. And even though that image is tarnished and blurred because of sin, you are still a unique, specially designed, created being. And you are a sheep. You are a sheep who's being loved and cared for and protected and provided for by a good shepherd. Oh, how we love Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I know that the Lord, He is my God. Jesus tells us, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me. And I know the Father. I lay down my life for my sheep. Jesus is a shepherd and a Savior, as we testified to in song this morning. We are thankful to God because He has both made us and He has redeemed us. So no one should be more thankful to God than the sheep who are cared for by the good shepherd. Verse 5, which is the final verse of the psalm, looks at why we give thanks to God from an additional angle. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever. And His faithfulness to all generations. Those are three more things that we are to know about God. God is good. The psalmist says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Has the Lord been good in the past? Then He will always be good. He will be good in the future. You do not need to worry about whether God will stop being good or change His ways. The Lord is good and He is loving. His love endures forever. Ask yourself this morning, has God been loving to me in the past? And He always will be loving. It is His nature to love. You need never worry that God will stop loving you. He set His love upon you in eternity past. The Lord is good, He is loving, and He is faithful. In the midst of our ever-changing world, and a world that keeps changing at an ever-increasing pace, God is unchanging. God is today what He has always been. God is today what He will always be. Has God seen you through difficult times in the past? And God will continue to see you through whatever He sends your way in the future. So no matter what your circumstances are, whether you are in plenty or in want, whether you're in pandemic or well-being, whether you are in prosperity or weighed down with trouble, you can testify right alongside the Apostle Paul as he writes from prison in Philippians chapter 4. He says, I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Regardless of what happens to us, we are the sheep of his pasture. We are the sheep of a good, loving, faithful shepherd. We are his no matter what sickness may come, but we are his. We may lose our job, but we are his. We may be required to say goodbye to a loved one, but we are his. We will always be his. The Lord will never leave us. The Lord will never forsake us. The Lord is always with us. As the psalmist invites us to join him in giving thanks to God, he sounds out three final commands in verse 4. He says, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name." Enter. Give thanks. Bless. The emphasis here, once again, is gathering. God's people gathering together in the original circumstance, gathering at the temple to thank and to praise God together. And like so much in life, thanksgiving is best when it is shared with others. And our psalmist is saying far more here than, "Oh, it's a good thing for you to go to church." Yes, that's true. But there is a very special aspect of wholehearted thanksgiving that involves the whole people of God joined together. Psalm 22 tells us God inhabits the praises of his people. We are now the temple of God. We are the place where God's praise and thanksgiving is enthroned. Your private worship and your devotion and prayer are absolutely vital to your spiritual health and well-being. But private worship does not eliminate your need for public, shared, corporate worship. Your presence in and contribution to shared worship is every bit as essential to your spiritual well-being as what takes place between you and God when you are in private. As we have reflected on so many times in the past, God does not call his people into an individualized, isolated, personal experience with him. And even as we gather here together, it's not about 50, 60, or 70 people all having their own personal experience with God. No, gathering together is about enthroning God in our midst, together with the body, the temple, the place where God's praise is sounded. So the process of meeting together as we do is meant to stimulate and to encourage a thankful response in one another toward God. So how do we thank God? We do it by inviting one another to join together in giving thanks. And I want to invite you to do that right now. As we spend some time together letting the body talk to the body, as we encourage one another with testimonies about how the Lord's goodness and how his steadfast love and how his enduring faithfulness that never fails has met with us and showed up in our lives during this past year. So Noah and I are going to be roving around the sanctuary with microphones. We ask you to use the mic. We're going to sanitize the mics between every person. So we'll start over here with Noah. Someone on this side perhaps can get the pump started, prime the pump and get us going. I'll be over here. And we will just see how we can fulfill what Psalm 100 encourages and urges us to do. Maybe Noah's not quite ready. We'll start over here on this side. Someone over here. All right, thank you. Would you stand up, because we want to have the people at home see you as well as possible too? You're going to hold that? Okay.
Can you hear me? I thank God for our form of government and our constitution and our peaceful progression when things happen in our government without assassinations and violence. I just thank God for our rule of law.
Okay, thank you.
I thank God for sending his son, Jesus Christ, and I thank God for this community we have right here in Pomfret.
So Someone else.
I just thank God that we can gather together to study His Word and to give Him the glory that He so much deserves.
I thank God, and that's what I sang about, because every day we have isn't guaranteed that it's going to be good or bad or smooth, but the Lord provides for us exactly what we need for that day. And that happens as we spend our time with Him, get to know Him, and seek His face for our lives. And that was what I sang about. That was exactly how I feel.
God for his words and promises that if He is with us, who can possibly be against us?
Amen. Paul.
I want to thank God for this incredible year that we've just passed and continue to suffer from. And I want to, as you pointed out, talk about this past year, and it's my own personal experience to have grown in my faith by increasing my attention to the Bible and its teachings. And now I'm attending, as Pastor Tom pointed out, more than before. I think that I've been personally blessed with a recovery from a heart attack, and now I'm continuing to see a lot of people in the clinic and do them some good as well and pass on the blessings that I've received.
I have a lot to give thanks to God for. Mostly I thank the watchmen on the wall that keep us safe. I thank Him for another day. I thank Him for the ability to go ahead and live just today.
I'm thankful that there are people that studied in college science and mathematics that may get us out of this problem. I was not one of them, but I am thankful that there were scientists that are really working very hard to help us in this. And I think God has a hand in it also right now.
Amen.
I thank God for being my rock and my shelter. And, you know, when things seem hopeless, He always gives me hope.
Okay. Noah.
I just thank God for the music, because it's very fun to play and sing in front of all of you and do this every Sunday for a while. It's a good time.
Thank you.
Thank God for so many things. One of them is that in the morning, He's really been helping me to get back into prayer before I get going with my day. And Psalm says, "Let everything that has breath praise the Lord." Well, my cute little dog, it's a Shih Tzu, comes over with me every morning as I'm kneeling down to pray. And he just can't wait to be pet and everything else. But God says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. So, you know, I always just assume he's praising the Lord too. but I also pray, I'm also grateful because even on the way here, I'm thinking of how delicately we are made. We have pupils that are so tiny, and yet we can see broad spectrums through those little tiny pupils. We have such, we're just so delicately made. We have every little piece of our body God knows about, you know, and I'm just really, really grateful for that. He knows what makes our bodies work. He knows the blood that flows through the veins, that flows through the hearts, that gets to the brain. everything that he created just in one single human being is totally, totally amazing. And I'm very grateful for everything that he does. He gives me strength, and he always provides. Even when I'm down in the dumps or just going through tons of things that everyday things that people always go through, he always provides. He's always there, and he always hears our hearts.
Thankful that my jaw hurts today because we had our first Thanksgiving dinner last night at my aunt and uncle's. And when you get the Grist family together, a lot of funny stories come out. So my jaw hurts because we were laughing so much, and it felt good. It was good to be with family.
As usual, I'd like to read a scripture. This is from 2 Samuel. It says, "Who am I, O Sovereign Lord, and what is my family, that you have brought me thus far? And as if this were not enough in your sight, O Sovereign Lord, you've also spoken about the future. In 2021, it will be 50 years since I first committed my life to the Lord. He's been with me every day. Amen. It hasn't always been easy, but as Gladys sang, he gives us strength as our days are, and I'm just so grateful for his presence in my life, for his guidance, for his counsel. And besides that, as that verse says, if this isn't enough, he's even spoken about a future where we're going to be with him forever because of Jesus opening the doors to paradise." So I'm just grateful for that.
Well, there's many things I give God praise for, but for me, the most important thing is for him sending his son, Jesus, who came to this earth, took on human flesh, was beaten beyond recognition, hung on that cross, died, and saved us from our sins.
I can see all of you from the back there, and I can see the band and pastor, and it gives me a really wide perspective, and I can see everybody and, you know, how they stand, and some people, you know, they kind of dance along, and I won't name names. But it's really encouraging to see everybody enjoying the worship and, you know, really receiving the message. And I can see people nodding their heads and stuff or taking down notes. And it's just encouraging. It gives me that little bit of strength to, you know, pay attention to what pastor is saying or to pay attention to the song lyrics, although sometimes I get a little too absorbed in the song and then forget to change the slide. But we won't mention that. But it's just really encouraging to see everybody and how well communed we all seem to be with each other and with the worship service.
I'm thankful for the Lord's Prayer, especially the part for your thank you for your daily bread. He gives us what we need every single day. Thank you.
I'm thankful. Can you hear me? I'm thankful that I have friends and family who love me and can help me. And I'm thankful that I have good teachers that can help guide me and help me become more intelligent.
Anyone else?
I thank the Lord for our young people that are coming up behind us that are going to be the leaders of this church someday, and it just blesses my heart to watch them as they pay attention to the pastor and his lessons, and that that they're just going to be walking with the Lord. I'm just just so grateful for them.
Yeah. Last call. If there's no one else, we're going to stand and we're going to sing together that beautiful setting of Psalm 100, that version that would have been known to the pilgrims. You're going to recognize the tune right away because we sing the tune every week. It was not originally meant to be a song that came after the offering. It's called the Old 100.